you may have heard this story, and I've heard it. I didn't realize when it happened, but in the late 1800s, a psychologist named George Stratton did an experiment. And what he did is he built a pair of glasses that when you put them on, everything was upside down, right? Probably heard this in psychology, different things, right? And you can imagine, if you have everything upside down, difficult to walk around, everything be turned up, you would have a very difficult time. But then, an amazing thing happened. After several days, the person's brain, who had the glasses on, adjusted to the glasses. And, in fact, with those glasses on, he was able to see everything upside right. The brain made that adjustment for him. And stranger still then, when he took the glasses off, everything was upside down. And he had to readjust back to it. And again, just in looking at that, they're seeing that, wow, our minds can adapt to the vision that we see with. And if we see something long enough, our brain adjusts to it. Now, this raises a spiritual question, and we're going to be looking at that today. What if we have learned to see this world wrongly? Right? What if we and others are used, have become accustomed to, and don't even notice spiritual blindness? That's the tension we see in the gospel reading in John chapter 9 today. A man who's born blind learns to see, while the religious leaders who think they can see clearly turn out to be the blind ones. We see that Jesus didn't come only to heal physical eyes, but to change our vision, to change how we see things. And in that we see that Jesus opens our eyes so that we can see God ourselves and see the world truthfully, in truth. Now, we want to start off with the idea that, I guess first off, that God sees what people miss, right? We see that. We saw that in the 1 Samuel passage. That's really what it's about. The appearance of the sons of Jesse and then of David. And when they go to anoint a king, Jesse brought all the impressive sons, tall, strong, handsome men. And Samuel said over and over, no, that's the one. God was looking for something different. God sees things that we don't see. That's what he told him. He said, people look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. I mean, David wasn't even invited. He was the smallest. He was the youngest. He was the lowliest. He's out with the sheep, the lowest of the jobs. And so it's amazing, yet even the lowest overlooked person became king. He became the king. God's vision is different than ours. He sees things differently. You know, and we all fall into this. We do. We see status, success, appearance, those kinds of things. But God looks deeper. He looks deeper. You know, I think for a lot of us, we may think that God is going to look past us. That, you know, I'll do what I can, but, you know, really. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not very bold. You know, I'm not attractive. I don't draw people, all those kind of things. I'm too ordinary. Maybe you'll think I'm just too broken. I'm too messed up. There's just too much that's happened in my life. Maybe we think it's too early. I'm too young. Maybe we think it's too late. I'm too old. But God often calls the person that nobody expected. Over and over, Scripture shows us this. Seems like the least likely person is the one that God uses in incredible ways. And as we think of our relationship with God, we know that God calls all of us. He calls us to serve. He calls us to trust and obey, as we sang today. He calls us to speak. He calls us to pray. He calls us to share. God calls you, every single one of you, to something. Every single one for his kingdom. And we shouldn't look past the inadequacies of ourselves or of others in that calling. It's never too early. It's never too late for God in his kingdom. But the gospel story draws us to more than physical healing. When Jesus works, he's doing much more than simply opening eyes. We saw that in this man who had never, ever seen light. That's hard to imagine in my mind. To have never, ever seen anything. He'd never seen colors. He'd never seen shapes. He'd never seen a smile. He'd never seen a sunset. He'd never seen, you know, a little baby. He could tell what they were, but never seen them. And the disciples asked a very common question. Who sinned that this man was born blind? That was the prevailing thought of the day. That the idea was, if you were doing well, if you were blessed, you had money, if you're healthy, that means God was with you. And if those things weren't true, if you were sick, if you were crippled, if you were blind, if you had leprosy, if, you know, a storm destroyed your house, if your cattle died, that was evidence that God was not with you, that something was wrong, that you were the problem, that something you did must have happened because God is not blessing you. And that's how people judge the world. That's how they saw things. Bad things happen to bad people. Good things happen to good people. And again, that reflection, the circumstances of your life, of our reflection of your status with God. Now, we understand there is cause-effect in the world, right? You know, you do something, something will happen. But again, God looks deeper. He looks beyond that simple cause and effect and puts it in the cosmic, in his kingdom focus. And so we are cautioned often in the Bible to be careful about judgment, right? Be careful to judge because God sees the heart. We want to assign blame, but Jesus turns the focus away from blame to God, to his glory, to him being revealed. And that's an amazing answer that Jesus gave, isn't it? He said, no, it's none of those things. It's because to reveal God's glory. The purpose of this blindness was to see God. That's incredible. And again, it takes the judgment away. It takes the looking down away. He puts mud in his eyes, which is kind of gross. Sends him to clean. And again, I can't imagine that. You got mud in your eyes, you go, you wash it out, you get the dirt, get the little specks out of the corners, and you open your eyes, and for the first time ever, you see. Now, again, we don't know, right? I mean, was it blurry? Was it weird? You know, I mean, the brain has to kind of handle this, but again, this is God working, and we see this incredible miracle. But that physical miracle was only the beginning. It was only the tip of the iceberg of what Jesus was really wanting to do. We're seeing a man who is growing in faith. Yes, he had his sight, but in his real sight, his spiritual sight, he started to really see. And it's interesting the progression he makes, right? When he's questioned, who is this guy? Well, I don't know. His name is Jesus. So he just knows it's this Jesus guy. He put mud on my eyes. I can see. His name is Jesus. And then they asked him again, and what did he say? Well, I think he's a prophet. So we know this. Jesus is a character, is a historical figure. And then maybe as you think more about it, as you see what he's done, you may think, well, no, he's really a great man of some sort. You know, and people see that Jesus that way today, don't they? Right? They may say, yeah, you know, Jesus said some good things. You know, he seems to have a lot going on. I'm curious about these things. It seems like, boy, he really is something, maybe. And the man develops further his question. He said, hey, he must be from God. The conclusion he came to after considering this, he's this man, he did these things, he must be important somehow, a prophet. Well, he must be from God. I mean, I had to consider that in light of all that I'm seeing here, he must be from God. And in fact, when the Pharisee said, give glory to God, that's exactly what the man did, didn't he? He gave glory to God somewhat unknowingly. I think he must be from God. And then the final step in this progression for this man was, I believe. At the end of all of that, when Jesus confronted him face to face, said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And then said, show me him. I want to believe. And he said, it's me. I am. And then the man's eyes were truly opened. For the first time in his life, he really, truly saw. He opened his eyes gradually. It was a process for him. He was blind. He met this man, Jesus. He obviously thought he was good, did great things. He must be from God. And in the end, he believed. Meanwhile, the Pharisees went the opposite direction, didn't they? They began confident, sure of themselves, sure in their religion, sure in their sight. And in the end, they hardened. In the end, they were even more blind than they were before. Sight and blindness in this story are spiritual realities. And they are spiritual realities for us today. They are spiritual realities for all of us in some way or another. The blind man saw clearly more and more every moment, physically and spiritually. The religious leaders grew darker with every moment. And I think what that tells us in some ways is that faith, our faith, sharing faith with others, is a journey of increasing vision. You know, most of us who have known the Lord for a long time can understand that. We see that as we've grown, we can see more, we see better, we learn, we understand things. And I think we want to, sometimes when we think about sharing the faith, we think about telling others about Jesus, we want to jump right to the I believe part. You know, that's the goal, of course. But sometimes you have to introduce them, say, hey, there's this guy, Jesus, and he's pretty cool, and he does good things. Why don't you check it out? Okay. And then as a person can be involved and see community and see people's lives, they may come to that conclusion of, oh, there's something to this Jesus. He seems to be something. And then maybe in God's timing, they'll even attribute it and say, wow, there's this God and this Jesus. And boy, this is really starting to make sense to me. And then you take that final step of, you know, I believe this. It's step by step. It's grace by grace. This journey that all of us are on. And again, it takes out every inkling of judgment or looking down upon anybody in whatever their circumstances may be. But it's important to remember that in that journey, that God, it's not so much of what God is calling us out of. He is calling us out of darkness, but we want to make sure we remember what he's calling us into. And Ephesians reminds us of that. He says, you were once darkness. You know, and it's interesting that he doesn't say we were in darkness. He says, we were darkness. We were blind. It's a spiritual reality. It's our identity. It's who we are. But Christ changes that identity. Again, not so much of what we're coming out of, but who we are inside. And who we see, how we see God, is what I'm trying to say. We become people who live in the light. We are those who seek what is good, what is right, what is true. We are then put into a offensive mode of not only just enjoying the benefits of God and his presence and his life, but to expose darkness. We are the ones that show the world what the darkness is. If there is no light, then darkness is just a normal thing. But when there is light, you can see what darkness truly is. And that's what we do in our culture, salt and light. We become people who live in the light. And that light exposes truth. That light reveals reality. That light shows the path forward. And we are called to live in it. We are called to, into something greater in our sight. Now, the good news also here we saw in Psalm 23. Because we know the reality that in our journey, wherever that may be, that there is darkness around us. We live in a world that is increasingly in some ways difficult. We see spiritual realities that are difficult. We see wars. We're concerned about violence and sin in our world, in our country, in our culture. But the grand Psalm 23 reminds us, though I walk through the valley of death, the shepherd is with us. That even if it's dark, we are light. We have light. He's with us and we can see. We may not see as far as we want to. We spoke not long ago about, you know, headlights in a fog. It may give us just enough to take that next step. But that is part, as we sang today, trust and obey. Trust and obey. In some ways, the blind man, when he was healed, his life became a little more difficult in some ways, right? He was cast out. All of a sudden, he sees. He can't sit and beg anymore. Yeah, he's got to do something, which I'm sure was thrilling, but there were some ways that it was harder for him. But he could see. And the spiritual realization gave him that confidence to know that, hey, I can move forward. When Jesus finds him, he lets him know, I will not abandon you. I am with you. Now, the irony in all of this is that the one who was supposed to be blind is the one who could see, and the one who thought they could see are the ones who are really blind. It really is a warning and a reminder to us to be humble in all the things. It's so easy to look at people and assume the circumstances and say, well, you know, it's their own fault that they're there. I see it all the time, and you know, I have somebody who comes in and they want to buy a car, and you know, we look at it, we check the credit, and you know, comes in and go, oh, it's $485. All right, they're not going to be able to buy a car, and you know, people will talk and say, oh, you know, if they would just pay their bills, if you know, right? I mean, how did you get yourself there? Obviously, you have really messed up your credit. You've made foolish choices. You know, you've maxed out credit cards, spent it on things that are foolish, maybe instead of saving and paying all these things. It's easy to do that. Very easy. But we don't know. Right? And that's what we see here. God sees the heart. God is the one who knows. And for all of us, the same way. You see a homeless person. Well, what did they do to get themselves in a situation? It must be their fault. It must be their fault. You know, there's a TV show, Ted Lasso, which I think is one of the greatest shows ever. I have difficulty recommending people because the cussing in it is unbelievable. All right, but if one could get past cussing, it actually has so many Christian themes. It's crazy. And there's one where a soccer player told a story of when he was young. And he's a young guy, he's cocky, and he made a joke to one of the older players because his wife was going to have a baby. And he made a stupid joke about, oh, hey, maybe it's my kid kind of thing. And the old soccer player got so upset, he came and just beat the tar on this guy. And he broke his ribs, cracked his jaw. The older soccer player got kicked out, was never able to play again. And months later, this man came across the guy, and the guy told him a story. And what had happened was, and nobody knew this, but just weeks before, they lost a baby. And nobody knew. And in that moment, he realized everything he didn't know. You know, why would a man just snap like that? Why would somebody do that? In the end, he said, yeah, I can place my judgment, I can make assumptions, but in the end, what I want to give is love. I want to give love, because we don't know. We don't know. And that's okay. God tells us how to react. God tells us what we should do. And it's not judgment. It's showing Jesus. It's maybe
putting some spit in the mud and helping people along. Humility opens the door to vision. Our goal is for God to be honored. And that's an amazing thing to think about too, that we can see someone's circumstances, we can see even the dumb things they've done, we can see, you know, maybe they made mistakes, maybe they've done foolish things, but in the end that's fine, because God will use all of those things to reveal himself. And maybe that is the very purpose in the first place. So for me to put someone down because, you know, they were foolish with their credit cards and their credit score is terrible, instead I can love them, try to help them, and show God and have him revealed through the circumstances that they are in. Back in the 2000s, an amazing thing happened. Just through some revolutionary techniques, it's like back in 2000, there was a man named Mike May who had become blind when he was a child. And through this procedures and things that they had developed, they were able to restore sight. And so after 40 years, this man was able to see. Now, if you Google it, and you see it's a true story, happened. And what's interesting is that when it first sight came back, it was all jumbled. His brain had a very difficult time. He could, it was all just like sticks and lines, and faces were distorted and weird, and he couldn't really see very well. You know, and over time it got better, and you know, it improved as he went. Again, if you Google read the story, they say it's never going to fully recover him. That's what they think anyway, but it did improve over time. This story reminds us of this spiritual truth. When Christ opens our eyes, the world doesn't instantly perfectly make sense. When someone finally believes, all of the bags they have, all of that they've carried their whole lives, everything they've thought about, all their worldview, their opinions on issues and all those things, they don't just instantly snap and they're done. And that's okay. Because God is working. And God will work. And we can trust that God will work. And we don't have to, you know, instantly force everything down someone's throat the instant they believe. That in time, God will work these things out. We're all learning a new way of seeing. We're all learning to get a clearer picture of God's kingdom and what he has for us. But in that development of seeing where we once saw judgment, we see grace because of the grace that was given to us. Where once we saw despair, we see hope because of the hope that Christ gives us, because we know the end and we can have hope. Where once we saw just ordinary happenings and you know, little bits of circumstance, good things happening here and there, we now see Christ. We see Christ working in these things. We see God revealing himself day by day, moment by moment, in all the things that God blesses us with. Faith is that lifelong process of learning to see through the light of Christ. In this Lenten season, the good news that we hear here is Christ still walks into the darkness. He comes to us. We are not alone. Christ is still opening the eyes of the blind. You may have friends or neighbors or family that seem like they're just never going to see. It just seems like they're just too far gone. They won't listen. They're selfish. They're worldly. It's not going to happen. Christ opens the eyes of the blind. It may not be our timing, but he does, and we can believe in that. We see that Christ still finds and uses those who maybe are cast out by others. It's those who seem like they're the lowly that often are, and are indeed, great in the kingdom of God. When Jesus talked to that healed man, he asked a simple question. do you believe in the Son of Man? And it evokes a simple answer. It's the same question we all have. We've all had it at some point. We have it throughout our lives. Do you believe in the Son of Man? And hopefully, the answer we give is, yes, I believe. Whatever the circumstances we're going through, whatever it is that is happening, the struggles, the darkness that maybe seem to be closing around us, we say, I believe. We can cling to that and hold on to it. He is a man, Jesus. He is a prophet. He is someone important. He must be from God. And so, I believe. Don't be afraid of God using you. As we circle back to that first thing with David, as we trust him, age is not a factor, ability is not a factor, confidence is not a factor. God has something for each and every one of you, old and young. We're not done yet. If you're breathing, God can use, God will use you for his kingdom. And I would challenge you, ask you to be open to that, to seek it, to look for it as God opens our eyes more and more and more. It is good news. And we are light in this world. And we believe. Let's pray. Father, thank you for opening our eyes. God, I pray, I ask by your word and your spirit that you would more and more and more clear up our vision. Help us, Lord, as we struggle. Help us, God, as we sometimes think we see and maybe we don't. Help us not to judge, but to trust you and let you work and open eyes around us. Thank you, God. Call us and give us the courage together to step forth in your kingdom and do the work and the good that you have for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.